The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Coming up this morning, 11:30 Eastern, some soccer, but first, it's us. Get up. Thank you so much for joining us on this new hour, fresh hour on a Friday morning. We're coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City, and we're brought to you by Chase. And let's get the show underway. We've got some fresh faces for us. Marcus Spears is joining us in just a little bit. There he is right there, getting ready with the cool LSU helmet turning. But first, we say good morning because it is time to get up with the NBA playoffs. The Bucks, they're forcing a game seven, but are they still the underdog heading back into Brooklyn? That's going to be the big question there. Plus, the Packers have a plan, right? They have a plan, but do they really not care if it's Rodgers or Love under center? We'll talk about that with our football team. And the Browns have changed the narrative around Cleveland last season. So who will be this year's breakout stars? We got that and a whole lot more as we get up right now. But first, we take you to the NBA for the game of the night. Nets, Bucks, KD, Giannis. Nets advance with a win. There they are walking in. Giannis, all the pressure on him. Early first, he takes it right to Blake Griffin. Gets the basket, gets fouled. Making it happen early. Still in the first, Bucks up nine. Durant switches and then leaves Jeff Green in the dust. Blows right by him for the layup. Bucks up seven after a quarter. Before the end of the half, Bucks up eight. Chris Middleton drains the three. 19 first half points. They were on fire, up by 11 at halftime. Nets down nine in the third. Durant with the fake right there and hitting the J over P.J. Tucker. Durant had 12 in the third. Nets down seven. Before the end of the third, Middleton passes ahead to Giannis, who misses, but Middleton's there to put it back right at the buzzer. Bucks up 11 heading into the fourth. Here we go. Bucks up 12. They're in transition, and Giannis powering through, getting the layup and the foul, going with authority. Under seven to play. Bucks up 17. Pat Connaughton misses, and guess who's there with the offensive rebound and the dunk? Giannis with 30, Middleton 38. Bucks win at 104-89. Here's KD on the difference between game five and this one.
I wasn't even trying to duplicate anything. I mean, I was just trying to go out there and play each possession. I'm not trying to be a hero out there. I know we can't win a basketball game myself, so I'm trying to let the game flow, and tonight wasn't our night.
I enjoy the game when I'm aggressive, when I can get downhill, when I can get my teammates involved, and when I play to my strength. That's when I enjoy the game the most, and that's what I try to do.
He absolutely did it, too. Giannis had a vintage performance last night, really focusing on getting to the rim of his 20 shot attempts last night. 15 of them came within the paint, making 11. He only took 5 attempts outside the paint. No three-point shots in the previous three games. He shot just 4 of 18 from deep. So let's welcome in Kendrick Perkins and Marcus Spears here to talk basketball. This is the moment
Big
I've been waiting
bro.
For.
Bro, yes, sir.
Yes. All right, Perk, I'll start with you. I'll let Perk go first, I'll let Marcus jump in. All right, so Perk, what was the difference in Giannis's game last night?
He finally started attacking the paint. Look, I don't want to see Giannis sitting out there floating around the perimeter shooting jump shots, okay? Because you know what ends up happening, Ryan, when he makes a jump shot? The Brooklyn Nets start cheering for him because they know he's going to fall into that trap and shoot more jump shots. Last night, he was attacking, getting downhill. Great job by Budenholzer, putting him in position by putting him at that center position and spacing the floor. But this is how he got to attack. You got to get to the basket. This is your strength. And not only getting to the basket, you got to finish at the basket. I thought that was the big difference for Giannis last night. He did not settle. He put his head down. He got to the paint. He established and imposed his will. And with that being said, the Bucks got to win.
I thought you were going to say he's like a young Marcus Spears inside, but okay. Swagoo, we bring you in.
Yeah, Ron, listen, look. Me and Marcus Spears, we played under the same AAU organization, and I was a year under him. He played with the 17U. I was with the 14U, yep. And I'm telling you, Big Spears was a different type of breed, okay? But carry on.
I love it. All right, so Marcus, look at him. He's not disagreeing, by the way. He's like, yeah, that's true. Now, who faces more pressure for Game 7, KD or Giannis?
It's Giannis. It's Giannis, and it has a lot to do with what Perk just said. And Perk, I'm going to shed light on our conversation last night. I called Big Perk last night, and I said, bro, why in the hell is Giannis not defending KD? And I was asking that question because I look at KD with his line in Game 5, and I said to myself, if you're supposed to be the star, if you're supposed to be the defensive player of the year, and everybody talks about how well you are a defender, you cannot let KD beat you and the Bucks and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Here's the deal, though. When Giannis steps in the gym for Game 7, it'll be all about can he get over the hump. Remember, this is a max player now. This is a guy that's supposed to be able to lead you to a championship. And let's not act like the missing of Kyrie Irving is not a big deal. If you don't think the Brooklyn Nets needed a third score last night against the Bucks, you are out of your mind. And then you look at what Big Perk just said about Giannis. Giannis getting to the hole created opportunities for Chris Middleton to go off for 38. If Giannis doesn't play like a superstar, if Giannis doesn't take the challenge, if KD is going off in Game 7, I'm going to call Big Perk, and we're going to talk about Giannis in person because it's going to be some choice words we can't say on TV.
Oh, Perk, you're getting hot. Why?
No, I'm not getting hot. See, Ryan, you know about this. See, Marcus took you back to Baton Rouge and First Street Baptist Church. And when the preacher started preaching the gospel and you get the jumping up out your seat and you get the feeling it and the AC unit go out, you got to get the fan and start fanning yourself because that's what he's doing. Look, Giannis has zero excuses. He has everything around him. He has Chris Middleton. He has Jrue Holiday. James Harden is injured. Kyrie Irving is injured. He has no excuses why he shouldn't beat Kevin Durant and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Swaggoo bought that heat. He preached that gospel today, and I just had to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Real one-word answer, and I love that. One-word answer, Perk. Who wins Game 7?
The Bucks.
Okay,
the Bucks.
Swaggoo, who you got?
I'm on the same page, the Bucks.
All right, if Greeny was here, he would say, preach, preach, brother. Like he said to me all the time. All right, thank you, fellas. All right, well, back to our biggest story of the NFL offseason, the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. On Thursday, head coach Matt LaFleur, once again in a difficult situation, fielded an interesting question regarding his team's preparation. Take a listen.
You know, some of the 6 weeks you're going to be working on your plan for training camp. Do you need to have two separate plans for camp? One if Aaron's here, one if he's not?
No, we'll have one plan. We've kind of pretty much laid that out. Just going to fine tune some things over the next few weeks. It's the same message it's been all the time is, I mean, you're only one play away. So you always have to prepare like you're the starter.
Yes, we're bringing Perk into the discussion. Look, Kimberly's ready. Marcus is back. Kimberly's like, Kimberly, I'll give you the first word here. Give me the reaction to Matt LaFleur saying there's only one plan, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love. It's just the same plan.
Ryan, you know why there's one plan? Because Matt LaFleur cannot bring his mind to consider a world where Aaron Rodgers is not his quarterback. That's why he's got one plan, because he's been the most consistent out of everybody. Like, I want Aaron. Aaron's my guy. I want Aaron. Like, we want Aaron back. He's not out here saying Aaron's a complicated fella or, oh, as, you know, Ted Thompson would say, you know. Like, this is dividing the fan base. Matt LaFleur has said, I want Aaron Rodgers back, because he knows that is his ticket to possibly winning a Super Bowl. Like, they don't know what Jordan Love is. They may have faith in his ceiling and all that stuff, but right now, you're trying to win. Matt LaFleur is not trying to fool around without anybody besides Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so Marcus, I see you shaking your head. Not in Kimberly, but at the situation.
The man is in denial, and it's so funny. And Kim is fighting the battle for him. I understand one plan. But in the great words of the famous Mike Tyson, everybody got one till they get punched in the mouth. He better damn well be in Jordan Love ready to play. And he better figure out what the best plan is for Jordan Love to be the starter for the Green Bay Packers unless the situation changes. The bottom line is this. I understand what Matt LaFleur is saying. I understand what his thought process is. And he's really talking about his system and how he likes to run offense. But you have to operate where Jordan Love is. You have to find a way to put him in the best possible situation. That's not going to be what Aaron Rodgers does. Aaron Rodgers overcomes coaching. He overcompensates when you may have a bad play call because of the level of talent and the things that he's seen in this league. You cannot have the same plan for Jordan Love that you had with Aaron Rodgers. And I hope Matt LaFleur knows that. I just hope he's trying to give Jordan Love a message saying, listen, we gonna go in, we gonna install our things, and you get ready to play. But you damn well sure better have a different plan for Jordan Love than the former MVP and one of the top five players to ever play the position in the NFL.
Hey, Perk, how are you looking at all this drama? Go ahead, jump in.
Well, I'm going to say this, Ryan. Look, Kim, we all want a lot of things in life. I want to take off my shirt and look in the mirror and have a six-pack. But it's not going to happen. That's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers, okay? Look, I know he wants Aaron Rodgers back, but he's not going to get him. But you know what? I'm looking at this situation, and you know what I want to do? I want to take a moment to applaud Aaron Rodgers because you know what? Everybody is thinking about the now when I'm looking at the future. And what Aaron Rodgers is doing is he's saying, hey, I'm about to start a trend of player empowerment. And what I'm going to do is set at the bar for players in the NFL for later on in the future where they can have control, where they can have some type of say-so, where they can control their destiny, where this won't happen again for the next future generation quarterbacks that's coming up. So that's how I'm looking at this situation for us with Aaron Rodgers, the way that he's going about it. I'm not looking at it like he's being selfish. I'm looking at it like he's trying to change and make change for the others that's coming up beneath them.
We did see it happen slowly in the NBA.
We could clearly tell who the guy is that played in the NBA. I'm just saying that. Talk to a pro player.
All right, guys. Okay. Oh, I love it. All right. Well, coming up, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. You know, they may be sharing the cover of Madden together, but you need to hear how Mahomes is using TB12 to motivate him this offseason. Plus, after what Baker and company accomplished in 2012, who will be the new Browns this season? And why that's a good thing? It's coming up next on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETravel at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETravel to save 20%.
Patrick Mahomes back with you on Get Up and talking about the man himself. He suffered the worst loss of his career in Super Bowl 55, a 31-9 beat down at the hands of Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So on Thursday, Mahomes talked about bouncing back from that game and how the offense continues to evolve, if you can believe it.
And when you get beat like that and on a stage like that, you're going to feel like that at all times when it's kind of talked about. So for me, I'm trying to make sure that that doesn't happen again, no matter what game it is. We had a great offense this last year, but I think we can still get substantially better if we continue to evolve and I continue to get better and better with my decision making.
Continue to get better with this offense. I got to bring in Rob and Marcus on this one. Rob, how do you continue to get better with this offense?
You just continue to grow, and mentally, I think that's going to be their biggest challenge after coming off a Super Bowl loss. It's getting over that mentally. Physically, we know that the Chiefs are very talented, and they've improved. They've improved their offensive line, which is probably the number one thing that affected that Super Bowl was their offensive line play. So, you know, for me, they have a group of guys that are concerned about legacy, and they want to get back to a Super Bowl. They want to win another Super Bowl. So, yeah, one is great, and Patrick Mahomes has talked about it in the past of getting back to the Super Bowl and having multiple Super Bowls. But they have what it takes. They have the recipe. They have the head coach. So I think right now it's getting over that mental I guess it's just the devastation of losing a Super Bowl. It can really affect you. So I think that for them, moving on, getting past that, and moving on to this next year is going to be the most important thing for them.
Yeah, you were on that Patriots team in 2011. You lost to the Giants that year, but you guys had to work to get over that. Marcus, I look at this team, and on paper, it looks perfect in so many ways. Obviously, the offensive line is a lot better. But when you talk about the evolution of Patrick Mahomes getting better, doing better, It just seems like he's already reached his limit. How much higher can he go? What specifically does he need to do?
Yeah, Ryan, people always think it's cliche when the presumptive great ones are saying they need to continue to get better. And Rob hit a great point. It's mental for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes will go back and evaluate last year's game against the New England Patriots when they couldn't generate a lot of offense and figure out why couldn't they do that. He kind of solved a part of a riddle that we saw start to trend when defenses just played off of him, rushed three, and he had to figure out and decipher down the field and not put the ball in harm's way. It's the little nuanced things that makes these guys great and not settling for being where they are right now. I believe Patrick Mahomes looks at last year and says, yeah, I know we were lacking the offensive line, and I know as a quarterback, you have a very hard time trying to win a game in that regard, but it may be some things he could have said in a huddle. It may be some adjustments they could have made throughout that game that could have helped them be a little bit better against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. It is not just politically corrective speech when you hear Patrick Mahomes says he needs to continue to get better. This is what the great ones say. Tom Brady has been playing for 21 years. He's won a bunch of Super Bowls, and he will get on television and tell you that he needs to do some things better. That is the degree of separation when we start talking about the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, the Wayne Gretzky's of the world, these guys, Serena Williams, these people that continue to push the edge. They are not playing when they say, we need to get better. We are looking at how we can get better. Simone Biles, seven-time champion, national champion in gymnastics. She talked about, I need to get better. They are not playing when they say that, and that's why most of us never reach the level they do.
Yeah, it's amazing to think there could be no getting better, but for a guy like Mahomes, there's always something. All right, guys, let's talk about this. 2020, magical season for the Browns, right? They won 11 games for the first time since 1994. They beat their division rival Steelers in the playoffs, leading by as many as 28 points in the game, but it's been a long climb for fans in Cleveland. Because when you look at it, remember just 4 years ago, the team went winless, 0-16 in just the second time in NFL history. They won 11 games this past year, which was three less than they had won over the previous four seasons. It was also the first time they had a winning season since 2007. So I want to bring Kimberly in for this part of the discussion, because we were sitting around wondering, thinking about this, how amazing it was that the Browns popped on the radar and went to the playoffs last year and won a game. Guys, who is this? Which team is this year's Browns? Marcus, I'll start with you.
All right, before I get the eye rolls and Rob Ning talk about just so committed.
They're coming.
I don't want to hear it, okay? I do not feel like dealing with y'all today. Ryan, you cool, because you always give me some grace on this. The Dallas Cowboys. It's the Dallas Cowboys, y'all.
Everybody's like, listen, eyes are rolling.
I get it.
Except me.
I get it. And I know y'all know the affinity that I have for the Dallas Cowboys. But the bottom line is this. At some point, we got to recognize that it was the perfect storm for this football team last year. It was the worst possible situation you could try to play a football season in. They had a starting quarterback by the name of Ben DiNucci play. They had five offensive linemen that did not have more than 3 years total experience playing in the National Football League. A defense that had guys out of position every single Sunday because McCarthy wanted to hire Mike Nolan, I guess because they was cool. But whatever. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys will resurge. They'll go to the playoffs this year, and it'll be the team that resembles the Cleveland Browns. And ironically, the Browns before the 11-5 season were 6-10 as well. Go check the Cowboys record from last year.
Okay, Rob, who you got?
Look, I'm going to stay in this division with the Cowboys. I'm not going with the Cowboys. I'm going with the New York Giants. And on paper, if you look at what they've added to this roster, you know, they got Daniel Jones coming back. Yes, they were the 31st ranked offense. I understand that. But you have a healthy Barkley coming back. You go out and you sign Galloway to a big contract at the receiver position. You go get Kyle Rudolph. So they're going to have two tight end sets with two good tight ends that can run routes. Their defense has gotten better. So I think the Giants under Joe Judge, yeah, don't say it, yeah, because I've played for him. I think Joe Judge is going to have the Giants playing fast this year. So I think the Giants have a chance. I think the Giants have a chance, come on now, to beat the Cowboys,
I'm not
to beat
mad at
the Eagles,
that.
To beat Washington, the football team. I think they can win a division. I'm going with the Giants.
All right, so you're saying there's a chance. Kimberly, who you got?
Ryan, why didn't we just name this segment the Homer segment? Because I know, Ryan, I know your pick is going to be the Eagles. Like, can we – like, surprise me a little bit, guys, just a little bit. So maybe Rob will be happy with this one, but I feel like everybody's so focused on Buffalo and Miami. Like, those are the teams that we should watch in the AFC East. I'm going with the Patriots. I know, I feel like, everybody's overlooking what Bill Belichick has built this offseason, because you've got a team that retooled in the offseason. You got a head coach and two quarterbacks who are looking to prove that they're championship material. And the Patriots spent $160 million in like 9 days to revamp a team that went 7-9. Think about it. They had such a depleted roster and went 7-9. After all that cash, all these guys that they brought in, I expect the Patriots to make some noise.
Okay. And by the way, Kimberly,
Hey, Ryan. Go ahead. The one thing about this conversation is I don't have to worry about my quarterback situation. I'm going to just leave that on the table and we're going to move forward. Go ahead, Ryan. I don't need to hear it, Kim and Rob. I don't need to hear it. Go ahead, Ryan. I got static.
I don't even have a pick in this segment, but if I did, it was going to be the Eagles. Okay. So anyway, moving on. Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kawhi, and Embiid, they're all facing elimination this weekend. We're going to tell you who wins and why. Plus, there is breaking NBA news with a Celtics star on the move. That's next on Get Up. But first, we've got a little trivia for you. This one's for Wendy. Who owns the single game scoring record in a Game 7 among active players? Brian Windhorst will take a shot at that. He's thinking. He's letting it marinate. We'll be back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up and a little sneaky hembo time for Wendy. Who owns a single game scoring record in a Game 7 among active players, Brian?
Well, Hembo is sneaky, but he's not sneaking LeBron James stuff past me. One of the great LeBron James games of his career that doesn't get mentioned. 2013 NBA Finals Game 7, 37 points at home against the San Antonio Spurs. LeBron's one of the great Game 7 players of all time, Ryan. He's won in his last five he's been in.
Yeah, that was a great game, but you are actually wrong, unfortunately.
What?
The correct answer, yes. The correct answer is Luka. He scored 46 points.
Oh, my God.
Game 7 loss to the Clippers two weeks ago.
He is sneaky.
Oh, Still too sneaky. All right, we're back with some breaking news. Woj just tweeting minutes ago, just tweeting this. The Celtics are trading Kemba Walker, the number 16 overall pick in 2021, and the 2025 second round draft pick to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second round pick. Again, Kemba Walker heading to OKC, traded by the Celtics. I'll bring in Brian and PJ. And Brian, what does this move mean? What do you make of it?
Well, Brad Stevens has made his first big move as the president of the Boston Celtics. This is a multifaceted move. It is obviously a talent restructuring, but it's also a bit of a salary cap dump. Al Horford's owed about $40 million guaranteed over the next two seasons. If they keep him for the full two seasons, it's about $54 million guaranteed. Kemba Walker, $73 million guaranteed. Both of them have knee issues. And so really you're trading one player with an injury issue for another player with a lot less money on his contract. And to make that deal happen, to facilitate that deal, they send a first-round pick, this year's first-round pick, to Oklahoma City. Another first-round pick for Oklahoma City. OKC now has three first-round picks in this draft with swap rights that if all things fall right for them at the lottery next week, believe it or not, they could end up with two top five picks in this draft. Oh, that's why they did this move. Boston restructures their talent a little bit, and I don't think Kemba fit here in Boston, and now he's going to move on to another place where he can be healthy.
It really is stunning when you think about this. Kemba Walker was supposed to be that second and then third superstar there, and PJ didn't really seem to work out, but now you're trading him for Al Horford. It just seems to be a stunning result with respect to Kemba Walker. What do you make of the move?
Well, I'm not sure. It's a question of who's going to end up on the court. You're talking injury in both cases. You got Al Horford didn't play a big chunk of this year. When he was in Boston, he played very well. It didn't work out. In Philly, it didn't work out in OKC. Really didn't get an opportunity. Kemba's health was the issue. When Kemba was healthy, he played well in Boston. But again, it's hard to, you know, invest that much money when you don't know what you're going to get in return. I would have to beg off because I'm wondering when it's all said and done, who's going to be in uniform for either of these teams, or is this more about money and picks? Hembo's asking windy questions. What's the NBA record for picks? Because I'm sure OKC has broken that a long time ago.
Or at least they're getting close,
they have
right?
18 first-round picks. They now have 18 first-round picks in the next seven drafts. But I'm going to tell you something. Sam Presti spins, you know, gold out of you-know-what. It wouldn't surprise me if he looks for a place to move Kemba Walker on. I don't know if he could get another first for him. But this is what they've done with Chris Paul. This is what they've done with Horford. This is what they've done with Carmelo Anthony. This is the business that the Thunder are in, and they're very good at it.
They clearly are, especially in terms of acquiring those picks. Could you imagine two top five picks and a loaded draft at the top? Guys, we turn now to the game of the night. Last night, Bucks, Nets, Durant, Giannis. The Nets need a win to advance, and Giannis was on the attack early, taking it right to Blake Griffin, making the basket, getting fouled. Still in the first, Bucks up nine. Giannis blowing by Jeff Green for the lay-in. Bucks up seven after the first. Before the end of the half, Bucks up eight. Toss it out to Chris Middleton, and he was doing this all night. Open three. 19 first half points, Bucks up by 11 at halftime. Third quarter, Nets down nine. Durant fakes and makes over P.J. Tucker. Nets down seven. He's fired up. Before the end of the third, Middleton passing ahead to Giannis, who just watch there. Middleton back in. That's the kind of teamwork you need to beat these Nets. Bucks up 11 heading into the fourth. Bucks up 12. Giannis taking it right down into the center of the defense, laying it in, getting fouled with authority. They're up 17 now, and Pat Connaughton misses that. But guess who's there? Giannis with a slam. Bucks winners 104-89. Forcing a game seven. Here's KD and Giannis after the game.
This is a new opportunity, you know, and it's going to be a little bit hard. We got to come here, protect our home, and we got to go to Brooklyn and try to get one more. We're built for this moment. Simple as that.
Game five was the first time that I even did any movement or anything like that since I got hurt. Tonight was no different. I'm out there to do whatever it takes to win, and I got to be better on both ends of the ball, which I will be in game seven.
Okay, that wasn't KD. That was Harden right there. So I'll bring our guys back in. PJ, what are you expecting out of game seven?
Well, I'm expecting KD to be great. Giannis needs to be great. This is an opportunity game for him, but I think it's going to be the second and third options on the teams. Are Middleton and Holiday going to step up? I think James Harden is going to play well. I expect Joe Harris to make shots, but I think those are the guys that are going to decide it. To me, KD is a given. Three-point shooting has decided the games when it's been a big number, when either of these teams have had 15 or more. I know that's a lot, but you got two of the best shooting three teams in the league. So how they defend each other on the three, or whether these other guys step up. Giannis needs that. If they don't make their threes, it's really going to be hard for him to score in the paint. The home team has not lost in this series. Six in this series and three in the regular season.
This is going to be an exciting game. You could just tell when you talk about the stakes like that. Now, Wendy, who are you picking for Game 7?
Well, look, in my view, Milwaukee should have won five of the six games in this series. And finally, Giannis Antetokounmpo put the three-pointer away and decided to go to the basket. And the results were amazing. All of those highlights were of Giannis going to the basket. I'd like to point out that the Bucks have something very rare right now. Three all-star level players who are healthy. This has been a series with more MRIs than road wins. But I'm going to say they have made a mistake by letting the Nets hang around this long despite those injuries. And what I take from last night is that James Harden moved a lot better. And so I'm expecting Durant and Harden to hit him, and we'll see if the Bucks can withstand it. They have no excuse not to win this series. Considering everything, the Bucks should be advancing. That's got to be their mindset.
Okay, and we'll see if the Nets can push back on that. It's going to be a great Game 7, guys.
Watch
Thank you
refs,
so much.
Watch the refs, Ryan. Watch the referees.
Absolutely.
They're not going to decide the game, but how Kevin Durant.
He's talking like a coach.
Well, that's the truth. That's going to be huge.
No, you're right. How tightly they're calling the game is going to be key. Thanks, guys. Well, tonight on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the app, we'll have a pair of elimination Game 6s for the Sixers and the Jazz. It's win or go home time. Philly, Atlanta, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's Utah and Clip City. The Countdown crew starts our coverage at 7 Eastern. Well, coming up, Giannis called Durant the best player in the world. So what does Swagoo say? Find out next on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G. Look at me today, G.
I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
Time for a little Swagoo says. Marcus Spears back with us. All right, so Marcus, let's jump off with this one. Starting with Jadeveon Clowney, he was asked about his new teammate on the defensive line in Cleveland. Take a listen to this.
What's it like for you to be out there on the field with a guy that is pretty close to being your athletic equal?
It's funny. I haven't ran into many guys like that in the National Football League yet. Took me 8 years to get here to find another one like that. On defense, anyways.
He's talking about Myles Garrett there. What do you say, Swagoo?
Ryan, this may hurt Jadeveon Clowney, but basically what he's saying is, I ain't nothing like Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett way better than me. It didn't take him 8 years to find it. It just took a while for Myles Garrett to get drafted number one overall for A&M. Jadeveon is a good player, but Myles Garrett is in a different stratosphere. That's basically what he wanted to say.
All right, let's talk some NBA then. KD, okay, this was, I love this one for you. After KD went off for 49 points in game 4, two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo had this to say.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like he's the best. He's the best player in the world right now.
Okay, so that's what he said. What do you say?
Man, Ryan, man, listen. I have a hard time with this one. But Giannis is saying KD is the best player in the world and he's unguardable and I'm scared of him. How the hell you say that after the man almost put 50 points on y'all? You never supposed to say that. I know I'm supposed to be talking about what Giannis meant, but I just can't let this go by without telling you how I feel about it. But basically, Giannis is saying KD is best in the world, he unguardable, and I'm scared of him.
You know, it's like people call it honesty, but still, having a two-time MVP say that about KD kind of boggles the mind. I gotta say,
we in the middle of a series. We in the middle of trying to get to the Eastern Conference Final. Man, don't say that.
Well, lastly, Jaguars pass coordinator Brian Schottenheimer was asked if he was ready to name a starting quarterback, and here's what he said.
We certainly haven't named a starter, Gary. Our objective from day one was to build the best quarterback room that we could. We're not in a position where we're saying, hey, one, two, three, four. We're letting them all roll. Everybody's getting reps. We want this thing to be really competitive. Ultimately, when we name a starter, we'll name a starter, and Urban will do that when he's ready. And it's still too early to say, hey, how this thing's going to play out.
Okay, so that's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
I would like to invoke the Fifth Amendment, so anything I say won't incriminate me. That's what he's saying. He know he lying. He should have just got up there and told them people, I'm going to lie to y'all for the next 2 minutes when y'all ask me about this quarterback situation. Ryan, you know, I know, my mama know, my 8-year-old daughter know, Trevor Lawrence going to be the starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brian Schottenheimer, y'all were 1-15 last year, drafted the quarterback first overall. He's supposed to be the second coming of Jesus himself, and you're going to get up there and talk about a quarterback competition. You just lied. Invoke the Fifth Amendment next time they ask that question to you, boss.
All right, Kimberly, Rob, get back in on this. Rob, what's your reaction to that?
Right here, Marcus. I'm right here with you. There's no need to – don't even lie. Dude, just say, yeah, we drafted him number one overall. He's the starter. He's a starter. I mean, let's just face it. He's a starter. Put him out there week one. There he is. He's the starter.
Kimberly, what do you think?
This is Coach Lion season, so I'm not paying Schottenheimer any mind right now.
I mean, at the very least, he can say nothing and just raise an eyebrow like, is that really a question? Are you sure that's really a question? Something, but just maybe not that. All right, guys, thank you so much. And look, we got a big day here on ESPN. Because coming up this morning, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, over on ESPN, coverage begins for the second match of our Euro triple header. Croatia takes on the Czech Republic. Then England squares off against Scotland. International soccer's oldest rivalry dates all the way back to 1872. All those Euro matches can be seen live or later on the ESPN app. Kemba Walker dealt away from the Celtics. Why did they do it? What happens next in Boston? We will find out as Woz joins us right after the break, right here on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Hall of Famer.
The greatest point guard ever.
Five-time NBA champion.
There's only one person all that applies to.
Magic Johnson knows what it takes to be a winner.
He'll speak with us on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin.
Followed by a stop in to get up.
And he'll join me on First Take.
It's Magic in the Morning, Monday, June 21st. Starting with KJZ at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Get up on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern.
And First Take at 10, Monday, June 21st. Magic all morning.
All right, coming up next on ESPN and the app, what did Giannis prove last night and who is the most important player when the Sixers face the Hawks? That and more coming up on First Take. But we have breaking news in to get up from the NBA, and the man who broke that news, Adrian Wojnarowski, is with us right now. Woj, tell us what happened.
Boston has traded Kemba Walker and their first-round pick, the 16th pick in July, to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, a future second, and Moses Brown, who's a backup center. You know, but for Boston, you know, this gives them some financial flexibility moving forward. They Walker is owed $73 million over the next 2 years. Horford is going into the final year of his deal at around $40 million. So Boston gets back Al Horford, who I think is very happy with the idea of going back to Boston. He can certainly still play a significant role for them in the middle. And now I think for Walker in Oklahoma City, you've seen the Thunder handle these situations where they get an asset, that first-round pick, which gives Oklahoma City three in this coming draft, potentially two in the top five. Now, like Chris Paul, like Carmelo Anthony, and Horford himself, where they have worked with the player and the agent to help get them off to their next destination. Obviously, this is a way station for Kemba Walker, but he could still be there for the season.
Yeah, it's sort of been their calling card recently in terms of acquiring all those picks. Now they have a ton of them, including, I think, three in this year's draft. But talk to me about the Celtics, because the idea of bringing Kemba in the first place was to have these three superstars, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker, and ride that to the championship. Now they're giving up on one of those potential superstars. What's next for this team?
Yeah, I think with Kemba Walker, certainly the durability has been an issue. It's certainly, this is one of the great leaders, you know, one of the great high character players in all of the league. And it's not easy to part with a Kemba Walker, but I think financially moving forward, they knew, given how many games he's missed and what that might look like physically moving forward, they were going to get off of that money now. So it gives them the flexibility to try to re-sign Evan Fournier, who they traded for at the deadline with Orlando. Marcus Smart right now, you know, plays that point guard spot. There's some younger point guards on the roster, and maybe there's a stopgap out there that's less cost prohibitive for Boston. But for them, it's, again, $73 million over the next 2 years, and they save, so ultimately, around $33, $34 million by bringing in Horford.
Significant in the NBA. Again, Kemba Walker traded to Oklahoma City. In return, Al Horford comes back to the Celtics along with Moses Brown, but they're also trading out of Boston a first-round pick for this year. Woj, thank you so much for
that. Thank you, Ryan.
Appreciate it. Got the breaking news right here on Get Up. And now let's turn to the NFL with this story. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, they shared a cover of EA Sports video game that became a part of NFL culture. The first time two players are on the game's front cover in over a decade. So we dug into the Madden ratings of our analysts today. Let's bring them all back in. Rob, Kimberly, Marcus. All right, but before we get to that, guys, I want to get your sense here. And Marcus, I'll start with you. Which team is more likely to get back to the Super Bowl, the Bucks or the Chiefs?
Yeah. First of all, I'm not going to gloss over the fact that Woj is like the butler from Mr. D's. How in the hell he just show up on the show when the big news happened in the NBA and nobody knew where he was? Okay? Second is, tell Woj
magic.
I said, what's up, Ryan?
I didn't think that.
Listen, man, it's the Chiefs for me. It's the Chiefs for me. They fixed their offensive line, and I believe that's all they needed. Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL. They still have Tyreek Hill. I'm sure the chip on their shoulder will be the size of a boulder based on what happened to them in the Super Bowl. And everybody talks about the bullseye being on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Kansas City has lived in this for the last 2 years, and they've continued to thrive and play well. I believe this team is more likely to get back to the Super Bowl, even though that side of the NFL, that conference, is the toughest conference in the league.
Okay, Rob, which team is more likely to get back to the Super Bowl, the Bucs or the Chiefs?
I mean, I know Marcus is going to call me Homer Simpson, but I'm going with Tom Brady. I got to go with my guy, Tom Brady. Listen, the Bucs have 22 returning starters. They're hungry because they have Tom Brady as their leader. He's telling everybody, we're not done. We got more to do. Back to back. They want to go back to back. Tom is going to be the last guy to do it. So I'm going with Tampa Tom. The Bucs are loaded. They got everybody back, and they're hungry still. So I'm going with Tampa. They're going to be back in it, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to watch. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the home. I'm a homer. Yeah, whatever. I like Tom. He's a good player.
Yeah, whatever.
Kimberly, what do you think?
All right, so I'm going to be the tiebreaker here. I'm going to go with my boy Rob. I'm going to say the Bucks, and here's why.
Damn,
because what are teams doing right now? You know we're fam, but on this one, I got the Bucks. Because what are teams doing right now? They're building chemistry. Their QBs are trying to develop chemistry with the new guys. New O-line pieces trying to develop that chemistry. The Bucks don't have to worry about all that. They brought all the dogs back and they got the GOAT. So that I agree with Rob. I think as much as them winning the Super Bowl, I think Brady has the pressure of wanting to win it again. But really, Tampa Bay, they were able to win with no preseason. Guys, just a whole new team getting together. Now they're going to have more time to gel, more time on the field. I expect the Bucks to be even better.
Okay. All right. You know what? I mean, you make a great point. But, guys, as we were looking at these covers, as we were looking at this cover, it got us thinking about our own analysts' Madden ratings. So we did some research.
Oh, Lord.
Not we, really. Hembo and others. I don't do anything.
Don't do that.
But Swagoo, take a look.
Wow.
You topped out at 83 back in Madden 07. Right? Now, Rob, I got to say, you topped out at 88 back in Madden 15. In fact, Rob had a four-year stretch, 2012 to 2015, where he was 85 or higher. So,
there you go.
Rob, I asked the question, what is it like to beat Swagoo in the Madden ratings?
You know what? You know what, though? I learned this a long time ago. It don't matter what your Madden rating is. It doesn't matter. Listen, you would think with an 88, that might have been voted into a Pro Bowl, but that don't matter. It's a fan vote anyway. So listen, me and Marcus, we're in the 80s. That's a B average. We're good. That's all good.
Rob
still seems salty,
Rob,
though.
I'm glad he humbled, because if I was the 88 and he was the 83, I'd have been like, yeah, I was better. No, I'm just playing, man. Listen, the 83 for a 3-4 defensive end that did nothing but two gap and was asked to stop the run, I can live with it.
All right, there you go. Kimberly, do you think the ratings should have been higher? Don't you feel like they should at least been in the 90s?
Listen, I've actually seen Rob play. Like, as a former Jets beat writer, Rob was Jets killer, so I'm surprised he's not in the 90s, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. You didn't say anything about Marcus, though. So, okay, we'll just leave it there.
They'd have put me in the 90s. They'd have been lying.
No?
Hey, thank you, though. I appreciate it.
I'm a realist. Y'all know me. I'm a realist.
Thank you so much, guys. Great job. Thanks so much for joining us here on Get Up. And First Take starts right now.